Dee Aikman here.
David Bernal here.
And Vice Chair Retriever
here, present. I think I was waiting for him.
Yeah, I was looking at the time. Sorry.
We're okay though.
Yes.
Let's all stand. We're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the approval of the agenda?
Commissioner Dee Aikman, sorry.
Do I say first motion? I make a motion. Yes, I agree with that.
Second.
Yes. All right. So what I'd like to do is go ahead and open it up right now for a public statement. And first of all, thank you guys for waiting and patiently. Patience is always a good virtue. Maybe we all practice it. But anyways, I don't know, who do we have first?
I
we already have the
I
cards.
Think you were first.
We don't have the cards yet.
Yes.
So if you'd like to give your name and your residence.
Okay, name is Dan O'Connor, 866 Orange Grove. And I've got multiple complaints, but first thing, I talked to your public works man about 2 months ago about parking permitting. I live adjacent to the condos. One of San Fernando City Council's biggest mistakes they ever made, allowing the Glen Oaks Village to go in with hundreds of units, which has now been converted to many hundreds of garages, has been converted to second homes for people, and the parking has doubled on Lucas and Orange Grove. Seriously.
Have you?
And I've witnessed in the last, since in March and in June, two accidents involving vehicles pulling out on the speeding vehicles coming down, usually blowing the stop sign at Lucas, which I was responsible for putting in 15 years ago at this very council meeting. These were unreported. They were non-injury, but serious accidents. The second accident occurred when a vehicle did not stop at Lucas. He was running down fast because, guess what? He's looking for the green light. One very bitter issue is putting a green light on a residential street, on a major street. They see that green light for about 107th and they come down Orange Grove. They're fit to be tied, they're ready to roll. The other issue, you cannot put a street speed bumps on most of that sector of Orange Grove because the city was never designed for proper flood control. I had this issue with the city council 15 years ago also. You had to put a hump. I had to be sure they put a hump in Orange Grove when they repaved Orange Grove. We get all the water, including Los Angeles water, which comes over the LA, the huge channel they have underneath 8th Street, water in the parking lot of Jack in the Box. The employees go out late at night with a hose and they hose down all the grease off their parking lot. Nice and comes down Hubbard, trickles down, I think it's Philippi, all the way down to Orange Grove, very conveniently. A retired fireman walked that one day and his wife, and they found it and they told me about it. And I did the same thing a week later and verified that. They don't have any inlet on Hubbard Street into the major Wilson Channel flood, which was put in by the U.S. government years ago. That's one of the issues that allows water to come down our street. Without that, we cannot put a speed bump. If we have the high water, our houses on the south side will flood. The natural terrain flows to our backyards. And the neighbors are all putting in planters. Everybody's trying to do what they can to stop water. Well, we need some way to control the speed. Either that, and also permit parking. If permit parking is a valid reason, I'd like to know, maybe you could give an explanation of the impact it has, what it costs, and what it does to us existing residents who live across from the condos where you have a lot of people parking. You go there in the middle of a work day, it's pretty quiet. Weekend or Friday night, forget it. It's packed. We can't even put our trash cans at the time. I've also considered painting the curb either red or green or whatever a loading color is to have a room to put trash cans out. That's how bad it is. And even the trash collectors, they like that. They the men who work in that industry have collected the idea of having a very reserve for their doggone cans, which we can't put up because people sneak in late at night and double park sometimes. A lot of issues.
About the converted garages, that is against the law, and there is an ordinance against it. And if you are sure that somebody is living in a converted garage,
I'll document it. When I can find it, I'll document it. Yeah. A lot of it's what I hear from people that live next to those people. A lot of it's word of mouth. I don't know. I only know two people living in a whole complex. But it's an issue. Look at Lucas. Orange Grove's bad enough, but look at Lucas. It's unbelievable. And there have been a lot of foreclosures. Apparently the units on Lucas were not true condos. They're sort of a quasi-apartment. And there have been a lot of sheriff deputies who visited there quite a few times in the last 3 years. Kicking people out, a lot of trouble.
My son-in-law is one of the deputies that does that.
Oh, he can tell you. Yeah. Ask how many times he's been in that. It's actually not going to be.
Well, he tells me of the lot of times here in San Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that has to be documented. We can't have people living in the garages.
Well, the thing is, you have more than one family member or a Camry on work vehicles, and they all or outside the complex. So there's only a limited amount of free parking along their easement, along their alleyway.
So each unit has, what, 4 or 5 vehicles?
Maybe not quite that many, but most people try to get in, but there are many that don't have a way to get in. Or the other sharing with their spouse, and they don't have another place to park, so they're parking out on the street, so it's causing a load. What are they doing elsewhere in the city? Do you have a problem like that? I've told you have another problem with apartments where people are parking. They have to go to permit parking. Is that true?
Well, they have permit parking, I think, on Orange Grove down at 1st and 2nd Street.
Oh, from the industry, right, where they work. They
No, there's permit parking for those apartments down there on Orange Grove near 1st and 2nd Street. There's permit parking there.
I was put in to allow for all employees.
Hold on for a second. You need to turn on your microphone.
Oh.
Just for recording purposes.
Sorry, it was...
Yeah, so that way, I think it's important for you to express some of your concerns so that way they could be documented, and then I think some of it's going to require some research to see exactly what's going on as far as where it is permitted and where it isn't. And I think we've had some issues where we've been looking at creating some permitted areas or requiring a parking permit. And, since I've gone the previous meeting, we'd have to go back and look at some of the notes exactly of where we were talking about those places that we were considering putting some parking permits. So I guess the main thing is to document your concerns so that we could really take a good look at it and see what's going on with that.
Do you have permit parking issued anywhere in San Fernando right now?
Yes, we
yes.
do.
Okay, what do those people, where is the burden placed? Who has to pay? What do they pay?
So I can interject. So the commission, Chair Trujillo is correct. We talked about this in the spring, and we came up with some different ideas relative to permit parking. We have two existing areas. They're currently... don't charge folks for parking in those areas, but that's something that we're looking to fix so that we can improve enforcement. Now, what I'll add is the commission looked to establish a new program and make it available to different residents throughout the community. And we've been working, in fact, I just had a meeting this afternoon with the police chief, our community development director, to talk about some of these issues and how we're going to try to make it so it's equitable for everyone.
Right, right.
And we're gonna bring that back to the city council in just a few weeks. So, the commission gave some good input, and we're trying to put the framework together for how that's going to work. So you're talking about enforcement, additional folks to go out and patrol the areas. You're talking about the number of cars that are feasible to be parked on a street. You have to factor in things like red curb, fire hydrants, a lot of different things. What happens if somebody has a birthday party or a special event? So there's all these different issues, and the commission gave input on as it relates to that. And so now the council is going to see if they want to explore it a little bit further. So if you'd like, I can take down your phone number, and I'd be happy to get in touch with
you. Yeah, I can give it to you after.
Sure.
So what I'd like to hear, though, is you're saying that there's grease the Jack in the Box, is that the one up on Hubbard and Footio? Is that what you're talking
yes.
about?
I'm talking about when the employees will go out in the middle of the night and they'll try to wash down, just for their own purpose, the same water that they clean their lot with runs down Hubbard, does not go in any drain. There's an old curb, which is Los Angeles City, at the corner of Jerome Field, I think it's 8th and Hubbard. Take a look when you receive it. It's always grass growing. It's a curb, old 1938. I think, I forget the company in Griffith, they put it in. And LA City Laughs, they put a big crown in Hubbard about 10 years ago. They don't have to worry about water. It all comes into San Fernando. It all comes into down Philippi, Chivers, and Knox, all the way down to Orange Grove.
So
how convenient.
It sounds like an issue that we'd have to take up with LA County as
well. Exactly.
The grease. Because all the restaurants are required to have a grease trap or something.
That got your attention.
Yeah.
I'm talking about water mainly, but I said grease because that was the purpose behind why these employees were going out late at night and washing the back of their lot. And that word, if I tell it to every resident on Knox Street, they get very upset. They're concerned now. But really, a lot of it, just a trickle of water comes down, but it's not our water. It should go down in that, underneath 8th Street, there should be a drain. And the reason they don't put that drain is because those people living on Hubbard refuse to sell their property to the city of LA. There's two or three residences that have kept their property line out onto the street, onto Hubbard. In other words, just taking up a lane of what Hubbard, ideally LA, would like to have full four lanes, and they can't do it there. So they're afraid to put an added in there because they don't want to go there, they don't want to reconstruct, have to build another drain. They don't want to commit.
So,
take
writing
a, look
a letter to Jack in the Box wouldn't be a good first strike?
Well, yeah, we can. What we can do is I'll be happy to
talk
to you.
That isn't the problem.
No, but what we can do is there's some stormwater regulations that are
right.
in place. And so what we can do is talk to the Regional Water Quality Control Board.
Right.
Because it's something, if it's outside of our city, we don't have enforcement oversight. So we can make a report to them and, you know, we can at least get the ball moving in terms of some type of, they're very proactive when it comes to stormwater and, you know, polluted stormwater. So we'd be happy to help you with that.
Well, if you're not aware, in 1963, when they put that stream turn drain in on 8th Street, you can drive a bus, two buses in there, if you don't already know. It's a huge, the whole street, actually it's surprising that 8th Street doesn't cave in.
Wow.
Why they don't have one, even at Gridley Street School, they have one at one entry point across from the school. A lot of times it gets clogged up and it flows on Orange Grove. Mm-hmm. So they've got to work on getting it down off of Hubbard, because once they put in the Foothill Gardens and other apartments over there, you put a little belly right by your LA or by San Fernando's well.
Yeah.
There's a little flat spot in Hubbard and the water will wash across and come back onto our side, and then it hits that curve at 8th, and it half that goes down 8th, the other half goes right down to Knox. Goes down all those people's property to Orange Grove and it makes its way. But then along the line, it accumulates all the excess water from all the people that have put concrete in and double up on their houses on Chivers, Knox, and Philippi. A lot more water comes down the runoff road. And now, heaven help us, when they redo, when it ever happens, when they redo Orange Grove, the public works director, I'm going to be on his case. Not a lot, I'm going to be on his case because they got to keep that crown on that road. The crown is gone right now. Between 7th and 8th, Orange Grove is pretty much like sloughed off. They got to reestablish that crown. If you get the water on the north side, we can put in a speed bump. If you put in speed bumps, we are flooded. That's the problem right now. But we need it because people are racing for the green light. It's a complex problem. Sure, the base is, and I watch it every day. I'm sure Dale, he's my notary. He's like the notary public. He knows more than police chief. Dale, he can agree with anything going on. He knows the city more and better than anybody here. He sees it all. And he knows what's going on behind all this. But here's a multi-million dollar thing that went in years ago to allow the Wilson Channel, they call it Wilson Channel. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers probably funded it all the way down to the wash. And hardly any other LA water gets down in that.
I'd be happy to talk to you after.
Yeah, okay.
Hey,
that's it.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Name is Dan.
Dan?
Yeah, right.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
I'll stick around with that.
Who do we have? Was that you, Gilbert? Good to see you, Gilbert.
Good evening. My name is Gilbert Pedersava. I reside at 606 Hollister Street. And I'm here to talk on a couple items that some residents have brought to my attention. One of them is one that we've tackled before when I was on the commission. It's the discussion about possibly having permit parking on Coronel Street, Pico Street, and Solis over by the apartments that are on Hubbard, and I believe it's Lazard, which the rear portion of the apartments face Lazard on the side of the city of San Fernando. I mean, I know that it was a little bit tricky only because the main portion of it, it does lie in the city of L.A., but back about a year ago when we had this discussion, the issue was that these residents who don't use their carports as parking, they use them as storage, are now trickling their vehicles, and you have multiple families living in these apartment units who are now parking their cars on Coronel, Pico, and Solis, leaving the residents of the city of San Fernando, on whose properties are in the city, don't usually find parking. And some of these people are elderly people, some of these are people who require wheelchairs, crutches to get to their homes, and it's not fair for them to have to park three or five houses down from their property, or sometimes a block down, to trickle back to their home in a wheelchair and crutches, or you know, just having difficulty walking. So that's one thing that we wanted to see if you guys would have the courtesy to look into as to the possibility for that. The other issue is that there's a concern with some of the at the Las Palmas Park. Apparently, there's been some type of issues with some of the Little League coaches drinking on the premises, leaving behind alcohol cans and boxes. The mother of one commissioner in another commission was actually threatened by one of the coaches. So that was something that was brought to my attention, and I was asked to see if I can bring it up. And I can, Chris, I can talk to you more about that person. But that's something that I think that you guys should look into, address it to whomever needs to be addressed, and see if that's something that needs to be taken a little bit more seriously. I mean, if coaches are drinking in the park after the games, you know, it's unacceptable, because one, what message are we sending the children? And two, you know, the safety part of it with having people drinking on city property. And then there's, I believe that several occasions there have been some needles found. I guess because the park isn't always lit properly at night, there are people who kind of go out there and probably drug up and leave their paraphernalia behind. So that's another item that I wanted to bring to your attention. The last issue was there's a home at 437 North Brandon Boulevard, whom the resident called me this morning and indicated that they had there's a tree on the curb side of their property, which is growing, the roots are growing, and it's lifting the actual sidewalk. And he actually had an incident, he fell, injured his ankle, is now going to require surgery. And rather than, you know, going after the city, he just wants to make sure that the city kind of takes care of it, because there are elderly people there. Children do walk to and from school on that street, and there are people with wheelchairs. And again, that's a safety issue, and you don't want to expose the city to liability. So he just wanted me to come in and kind of bring those issues to your attention and see if they could be addressed.
Is that a city tree, or is that...
Yes, a city tree, on the ground.
Personal.
I sent the email to Maria with the pictures, and I believe she opened a work order for that already. But I just wanted to make sure that you guys were all aware of it. And I wanted to, David, congratulate you for your appointment.
Thank you.
I know that you guys, I don't know if you guys are going to do this today or when that time comes that you guys decide to make your organization. I wanted to kind of convey my support, and I would hope that you guys would support Rudy to become the next chair of the Transportation Commission. I know that you worked tirelessly and you worked hard, and everybody does, but I think that you would be a really exceptional chair.
Thank you.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much, Gilbert, for your time and your commitment. You know, always involved in the city and looking out for the welfare of the city. Thank you so much on that. Huh? Will we have any other public statements? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Thank you. Am I saying to allow me to say some words? My name is Ricardo Benitez, and I'm representing Ricardo Benitez today. Street improvement, streets, trenches, and all of that. And I've seen the intention of the city to beautify the community, and looks beautiful. You know, after you've done, I believe the city approved one point million something, you know, to improve on the streets. But I thought that when they approved that, I thought that the money was going exactly to tear the street out and repay those things. But I seen that, you know, what the money, I believe, that done is that they just paint across the street, the lines and everything, but the damage is there. If we walk over there by Harper, in Glenwood, all the way down, Orange, there's a sign over there. Yeah, they paint the cross over there, but there's a bunch of potholes. And besides, I'm not talking about the handicap ramps. I'm talking about the braking on the street. And when they're patching, so they never patch, paint the cross again. And I believe, and I know for facts, is that after you paint that, you have to wait a year to break the street again. Otherwise, you have to be penalized. So these contractors just come and do the work, and they break, and they leave it like that, like it never happened. And there is no, I don't know, is they are penalized or something, but what I'm saying is that it looks awful when we're living in a beautiful community. San Fernando, for me, is the heart of my district. And so if you ride Brand Boulevard, past Brand on the other side, that street is terrible. And you see the light to it, they did the same thing. They paint the cross and everything. But they're trenching all the way to 7th, 8th Street. I don't know if that money is worth it to spend in that kind of work, because it's just putting salt in the water and nothing get done. And I believe that people like me, like everybody else over here, is watching what we're doing. And at this time, you know, with this problem with the economy we have, so we're spending that kind of money, it's not worth it. Also, we've been having a report from constituents, as you mentioned, Pond Park spillways over there in the back. You know, there's spillways. And I went to look at it over there, and this has a lot of marks over there. And that parking space need to be signed. Those handicap signs are not there. Or those handicap signs with the stand need to be fixed up to look, to make the park beautiful, because a lot of people go over there and visit that, and that's the view of San Fernando. So I believe that if we can do something where our money is worth, so that would be awesome. And so the, like a space race, McClay by A Street, we need more attention in the community, because it's not because I'm against that, but the kids will do anyway. But we need to, you know, from the four officers, how we can send them and look at it in you know, the middle of the night. But the most of the time they go is from 1 o'clock in the morning, and they start doing their things, because I seen it. So just to avoid any accidents, because it's going to be terrible, it goes about 100 miles per hour. When those things, they put, man, this is fast. So I believe that if we put more attention into those little things, our kids can be more safe, and the community will be looks better. So, it's not a complaint, it's a fact that people will see it. So, I just want to have a conversation with you about the things that are going on over there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm not sure on the 1.3, was it 1.3? I'm not sure where, You know, we do have a, we had someone come by that was speaking about the projects as far as the street improvements on Foothill, all the way from Pacoima, and I guess it was going to cross all the way to Sylmar. And I think the Sylmar, or Glen Oaks was one of them, wasn't that?
Yes,
you recall that?
Yeah.
That's all. Is that what that's part of there on Brand and Glen Oaks, or is that a city thing?
Mr. Benitez is referring, and it's on the second page. I was going to go over it as part of our project update, but it's the last one that we have on here, on that second page. And so the city, and Manuel's the project manager for the project. We have six streets that we're repaving in town, and they're not done yet. So they're still going to come back to the next, and I'll let Manuel talk about the trenching that you saw on Brand, but it was a last-minute thing with the gas company. Manuel, do you want to fill them in?
Right. So we were we had commenced the project for the street resurfacing along Brand Boulevard, and just as we were about to get the paving done, the gas company came in and told us that they had an emergency repair to make along that street. So we have allowed them to go ahead and make that repair to avoid any disasters from happening. So the trench that you're talking about will be fixed. They're going to do base paving for the moment, and once you come in later this month, we're going to go ahead and repave Brand from Glen Oaks to 8th. In addition, the other streets are on this form. 8th Street from Hubbard to McClay, Warren Street from Harding to McClay, Lucas from Brand to McClay, Philippi Street, Harding to the cul-de-sac west of McClay, and McNeil from Lucas to the dead end. But that work is coming up, like I said, later this month, along with South Huntington between San Fernando Road and Hollister, which is adjacent to Los Palmas Park.
So thank you for bringing it up. So next week you're going to see some utility work. The workers will be out there, and then the following week they're going to grind the streets, and then they pave them the following week. So thank
you. Right, and also I believe you spoke about striping. They are responsible, even if it wasn't the street, any other street that they touch, contractors are responsible to go ahead and restripe that in the same condition or better than existing.
All right, thank you. And I'd like to, maybe Chris, if we get a chance to go out there and take a look at it, just see exactly what it is they're referring to, just so we keep up with what's going on with that, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, we have anybody else with public statements that would like to step up? All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming. Thank you so much for everyone that made public statements. Right, I'd like to see if we could get the approval of the minutes.
File motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All right. Thank you, then they are approved. Minutes of the August 3rd meeting have been approved. New business.
Yes, Chair, Commissioners. So, the handouts that we gave you, this is a copy of the presentation that Nico Linich is going to review with us. And if you haven't met Nico, so he's been to the commission about a year ago. We were just commenting on how fast time flies. But the city got a grant from the state to do a safe and active transportation plan. Actually, only a part of it was funded through the grant. But Nico and his team are working for free to help the city develop an active transportation plan. So you have the grant-funded Safe Routes to School and then an active transportation plan, and those are being put together. So he's just going to kind of give an update of what we've been doing and some really cool events that are coming up in the next couple weeks and month regarding getting the communities buy into the plan.
Great. And do we have us going
here too?
So I met most of you. Thanks for having me. And again, I'm Nico Linich, and I'm with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. So just to recap on our project activities, the reason public health is getting involved is that we see the built environment as a public health issue. So in terms of safety on the streets, in terms of the physical activity that people get in their daily lives, and also in terms of the air quality. So all of these are issues that relate to the built environment, and public health is taking action and doing planning work to address some of this. So that's the partnership that we've formed with the city here. So since we last spoke with you, we did put together a project team, and that consists of Evan Brooks Associates and public health advocates, as well as us here in public health. So everybody has been taking on a slightly different role, you know, or specific roles within the project. So Evan Brooks is coordinating the master plan services, so everything from the composition of the document to the production of maps and other planning pieces. And public health advocates, they're taking on the community outreach. Maybe we'll just give it a second.
All right.
Oh, I guess you have the slides as well.
Yes, I don't know if you want to start it.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. Maybe we can just turn. Apologies that we don't have another copy. Maybe we do. So slide two here. Essentially, active transportation, we're talking about really any non-motorized mode. So walking, biking, safe routes to school, these all fall within that category. So you can see that this has to do with crosswalks, it has to do with bike routes, it has to do with the speeds on the road. So we've been hearing a bit about speed and that being an issue. I'll get into that a little bit more in just a moment. So as I talked about, this is a public health project. So we're addressing this from a public health perspective. So on to four here. What is the master plan? So the city has a bicycle master plan, and that was done by Ryan Snyder in 2007. So that identified some of the biking routes. It identified places where there could be improvements made. And it also looked at safe routes to school. So as an outcome from those projects, there were several grants that the city received. And now that we're 10 years later and those grants are still there, we're looking at updating the plan to today's conditions so that we can actually start to spend some of those funds on safe routes to school improvements for the city. So, like I said, the city has this bicycle master plan. The active transportation and safe routes to school master plan expands upon it. So it takes into consideration all of the other components. And we hope that this plan, the whole idea of it is that it'll be able to be reproduced in a grant application type of setup. And in that case, we'll basically be setting the city up to receive additional funding for infrastructure and non-infrastructure improvements. So we're talking, we've talked a little bit about the streets, the layout of the streets, but it also has to do with education and helping people understand how to use these modes and how to do it safely, and learning about opportunities where they can do that. Is there an organized walk, bike ride, go to in the city. So here's just a recap on slide 6 about, do you want me to give it a second here, or are we, should I just keep going?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to try to load it on a different one, and then we can put it up there. I think there's something wrong with the little flash drive. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't save on there.
Okay.
It always fails when you need it the most.
It's probably my fault, too. It's usually operator error, right?
It happens to me when I need it the most.
You guys are about as good at tech operators as I am.
They're actually pretty good, you know.
Well, you don't want me doing that. I can guarantee you that.
I just look at my computer and it goes down.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I'll just pause here for a moment and then we can get started again.
It should just pop up right over here. Maybe it's something wrong with the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's not recognizing the device. Mm-hmm. The device is really huge, okay.
Still no, I don't even think I have a Wi-Fi connection here anymore.
The button just popped up here.
Yeah. But it's in the, I just saved it in the main folder.
Just trying to record.
Removable disk, there it is. There. There we go.
There it is. That's it.
Sorry about that, guys.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Looks better in color.
Yeah,
we didn't get any color.
Hey, we're saving money.
I'm just going to save
that. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, that looks good.
Okay, so we're here up to the project schedule. So just to work backwards from 2017, we're looking to have a plan to go up in front of City Council in early February of next year. So just to work backwards, we have community engagement, draft recommendations, and that'll really be the moment that we want to come back to this commission when we have the outcomes and the summarized public comments that we'll receive through the series of workshops that we have upcoming that I'll get to let you know about in just a moment, as well as some draft recommendations, things that we've come up with that we think might be possible treatments for the city. So that's when we'd like to come back to you, which would probably be in at your meeting in 2 months, so that would be in November. So we'll keep that in mind as we move forward. So I'd like to inform you about some of the activities that we've done to date. So this was a flyer for a workshop that we did, and just to remind you, Public Health Advocates is kind of running this effort, and you can see their logo is down here on the bottom. They actually changed their name. So if you see California Center for Public Health Advocacy, they're now Public Health Advocates, a little easier to say. A few less words. So this was a workshop, two workshops that that they led at Recreation Park, and I think about 30 people came to these and got to hear an update about the plan and what was going on, and then also give their input. So input was recorded on a map as well as in the form of comments at these meetings. All of the activities are being offered in both English and Spanish, and there has been a translator and an interpreter available for those who need that. So those occurred in April, and we have a series of 6 school charrettes coming up, actually starting next week and the week after. So the dates here are printed. And I put a city map here and outlined in red the 6 locations. So you can see they do span across the city. And people have been invited from all of the school community and the community at large to attend these. We anticipate likely that at each school, primarily the attendees will be from that school particularly. But if people decide to come, they're invited to come, and we hope that we will get representation from all of the schools across the city.
I have a question. What's those charrettes called? Six charrettes?
That's right.
The six?
Yeah.
That they're going to do at school, what does that consist of?
That's a great question, yeah. So they're going to give some education on what safe routes to school means. So kind of equipping people with the language on how to talk about it. So oftentimes that we talk about the four E's, education, encouragement, enforcement, and engineering. So talking about how we would arrive at making safer streets and safer routes to school for the community. And then there will also be a walk where the group actually goes out on a led walk and is able to point out things that they experience in the immediate vicinity right around the school. And then they'll come back and do a mapping exercise where people can actually draw their routes to school and identify areas that they have concerns about and opportunities. So that's kind of the general flow of each of those. They're scheduled for 2 hours in the morning, so that'll be right when school's starting. So if parents are dropping their kids off, they're invited to come in right when they're getting their kids to school, and those will be starting right when the bell rings on each of those mornings. So the next slide just shows the flyers that we have for these, where you can see the exact start times. Can you read them on your printout?
Yeah.
You got that information? Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What's a charrette?
Great question. It's essentially a community workshop. So it's a public forum for people to give input. And these are... There will be, it's a community discussion. Yeah, it's a planning term that is basically a different word for a workshop.
All right.
Thanks for asking.
You're all fancy.
I'm going to start using it. I'm incorporating my vernacular.
Sounds like a bakery item.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want you to think that just being on this traffic and safety thing that you expand your English vocabulary,
yeah.
Your French vocabulary.
So we very much encourage the commissioners to get involved. If you can promote them and or come, that would be great. So encourage your community to turn out for these. And we can. There's information on the Public Works page. There's a flyer there, and Chris or I can get you any other flyers that you need to distribute. So an additional activity that we have going on is International Walk to School Day, which is actually getting out there and encouraging people to walk to school and learn, if they don't already, how to do that, to do it with community in a fun way, in a celebratory way. So this is happening on October 5th, and there's going to be a planning meeting right behind us here in the community room tomorrow at 4:30, which will be a chance to kind of shape what that event looks like. So it'll be happening tomorrow.
I think we had one already, right?
Yeah.
A while back?
Yeah, the kickoff one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was a part of the first one, but I hadn't seen any kind of notice other than right now that you're seeing. As far as tomorrow's meeting?
Yeah, we formed a transportation... Attack, so it's a transportation advisory committee, and that committee will be going, the technical advisory committee will be going through and providing detailed feedback to the project team about all of the different components of the plan. So I believe you're on that committee. So that notice went out to the committee a couple weeks ago about this meeting.
or is it junk mail folder or something like that?
I'll take a look.
And this one will be specifically coming up with leaders from each of the schools, coming up with the routes. I believe the chief will be there so we can talk about any kind of safety issues or crossings that we need to address when we have groups walking together and kind of planning out what does that actual day look like. So that's what that's what's happening tomorrow for the activity on October 5th.
I did have a question. Are we actually getting these flyers out to the schools within the schools?
Yep, those are out at large, widely, to the entire school community.
So that means that these schools that are listed on there, the site meetings there, he's going to get them to the students there?
Oh yeah, hopefully they're distributing them to their entire school community. So we hope people come. Yeah. Right, so those kick off next week on Tuesday morning. Okay. So those are the main outreach activities that we have, and I just put a couple of graphics in here to remind us why we're doing this. Speeding did come up earlier, and this is something that is a common literature and reviewed in the just safety standards now. So essentially what this says is cars that are going 20 miles per hour that strike a pedestrian are 13% likely to kill that pedestrian if they're 70 years old, 7% if they're an average age, or all ages, excuse me, and then 3% for the 30-year-old. So the point of this is that if we look at the car that's going 40 miles per hour, those percentages go up dramatically. So that range from 20 to 40 miles per hour is really the chances of a fatal collision go up dramatically. So we're really emphasizing the control of speeds, especially in areas where there are more pedestrians, and more visibility for pedestrians and education. So these are really at the heart of this work. And if there are ways that we can reduce speeds and add infrastructure that can help to do that, which we'll work with the city engineers and advisors on what's feasible here in San Fernando, we can hopefully achieve the goal of reducing collisions. So that's really kind of at the heart of here of the project, and I just wanted to bring that back to our attention. So lastly, I have a few slides here that show possible infrastructure examples. And actually, I did print out a few copies of these, which are additional. Maybe we could pass those around. And so just to emphasize, we're not saying any of these are the answer for your city. We're saying that these are all examples that are being explored or people are trying out in other cities. So if we just look at the first one up here and we look at curb extensions, I mean, this effectively shortens the crossing and makes pedestrians more visible. So with a shorter crossing, you're in the actual road less of the time. And you actually have examples of this on McClay over here. So that's one way. Roundabouts have eliminate the left hook collision. So a lot of collisions occur when a car is turning left. And in fact, I heard a story today of a colleague of mine whose friend actually died in a bicycle collision. And he was coming straight on, and a car turned left in front of him, and they collided, and he died, actually. And almost all of the collisions with pedestrians occur at the intersections. So this is a way to eliminate those left turns, and instead you have to go around the roundabout and yield and then come out. So that's one possible recommendation and infrastructure solution. Also, high visibility crosswalk markings. So sometimes the paint is faded. The paint issue came up today. Also, sometimes you have the lateral lines. Sometimes these other types of crosswalks can be more visible. They reflect light as well, so the drivers are more aware that there is that crossing. And of course, the safe routes are often painted in yellow, so you're even more you're aware that that's a school zone. So that would have that effect. And a road diet. So if the concept of the road diet is here, you can see that this is two lanes of traffic in each direction with a lane of parking. The road diet keeps the parking, adds a bike lane, keeps one lane of traffic in each direction with a middle turning lane. And so that's a street of the same width, and what you different ways that you can use the space. And you know, of course, before you do something like that, you want to look at capacity constraints. You want to look at how many cars are crossing there. However, if you have a lot of left turns onto local roads, traffic engineering studies have actually shown that capacity stays about the same. Because now when your left turns are happening, they're actually not blocking traffic. And with many left turns happening, these roads function more so as one through lane of traffic. So that could be something we look at.
I think they did that on Wilbur Avenue in Northridge from Nordoff north to Devonshire. It was two lanes in both directions, and they've done that. And in using that street, like around high traffic time in the late afternoon, it gets a little bit blocked up. But like you were saying, that where there was no left turn lane, like on the picture on the left, when somebody is making a left turn lane into those residential neighborhoods, they start to back up. People That's are right. going around and passing on the right, and then you know chaos ensues. So
That's right.
yeah, actually that works out pretty well over there. I think there's a left or a turn lane in the middle of the road, but they've done that road diet that you're talking about. It seems to work pretty well, especially for someone like I used to ride my bicycle to work quite often, and I'm always like, I got to take something with a bike lane because I've done it both ways to try to save time, and it's just it's scary when there's nowhere to put your bike. Yeah. So so that's actually that works out pretty well.
Okay. So, and the last one is a protected bike lane, and that's a popular one. I think there's
Cal State Northridge on Reseda.
Northridge, Reseda, yeah. That's right, there's the protected bike lane. And this example that I'm showing here shows these in the road as the protection. It could be also, there are different other barriers that you could put. You can put the parking as the barrier. That I've seen that before. It's a little bit confusing because you feel like you're parking in the middle of the street.
That's what they did on Reseda. The parking is actually the barrier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here is in Yonsan.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So this is just kind of a simple one where you have the paint, then you have the bollards here, you know, kind of in the road. So I'm just putting those out there. When we come back after we hear at large from the community, we'll kind of try to summarize what the main issues that we hear, and from our own experience, what we think might be possible here in San Fernando. And then we'll look for the advice of the advisory committee, as well as from the commission, about what might work the best here. What from an engineering standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, what's been done historically, and also how does it line up with other projects that you have on the books already, you know, especially with the resurfacing and the restriping. You know, we'll want to look at those roads first, because if you're already going in there to do a paint job, and, you know, that might be a good place to start. We'll also want to look at how does it line up with the city of LA's plans? You know, if they're planning a route, you know, and then what happens at the border, we're considering all of that as well. Of course, you have an application in the works for the Pacoima Wash project, which would be kind of a, you know, really key backbone of an active transportation network, getting people from all the way up in the foothills through the city of San Fernando, you know, and down past San Fernando High. So we would also be looking at the connection points into that. So that, I think, we'll know more in the coming months about the funding from that coming from the state.
Have you seen the Pacoima Wash?
Yeah, I remember in one of the discussions, I think it was, I think we were exploring or at least bringing to the table as far as like what could be done as far as like creating access from up that, up Sylmar area all the way into San Fernando. And I think at one point we even talked about the safety for the kids getting to school. Cesar Chavez, possibly San Fernando. So, you know, I think there's a lot of areas to be explored as far as like creating, while at the same time you're creating a safe passages of school, and then adding to that, reducing traffic flow going into the schools. So I think the last time we were talking about it, I think that was the idea that we were looking at it as far as like, you know, how can we make that work? Eliminating a lot of the stress, the traffic, and all that, while they're able to get to school.
That would take a lot of improvement of the wash because every time I go down there, there's a homeless population.
Yeah.
They're using the park now.
So I think maybe that's why the active, you know, getting people active out there, that maybe employing some of that within that structure of, I don't know, you know, maybe the wash along with whatever else they're planning to do with those. And I think that's why they're saying that this other commission or this other group of people meeting them with the commission and then going, you know, taking it further. Just looking at that whole, how can make that whole thing work together.
Is there an issue with the Pacoima Wash during the year when it rains? I mean,
I haven't heard of it.
I've seen pictures from when we had big rainstorms. Manuel was probably here. And, you know, it gets a good amount of water. But I don't know if it was ever to the point where it's coming out of the channel. So, I mean, in order to put the bike lane in, we wouldn't impact the flood control function that it serves. I mean, that's its primary focus. But, you know, if we could get some other type of recreational, like you're saying, an active element out of it, it might be a productive thing. If, you know, it's grant funded, then even better.
Yeah, because they've done a number of these projects too, like in the West Valley, where the wash is that runs basically east-west on the north side of Van Owen. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with the wash, where it's basically paved for a bike lane, and then some of it has the decomposed granite.
Right.
And actually, D2, when they did that, that got rid of a lot of the homeless population that was living in those wash areas, because it, they put lights, you know, like solar-powered lights and stuff like that, and it kind of, like, you know, discourages them, I guess, from, you know, camping out in those areas. And it keeps, like, the kids that want to ride their bikes to school and stuff like that, it keeps them off the street where there's no bike lanes. So that really helped out over there.
Right, so, I mean, the Pacoima Wash Project is a large project, right, that would happen over probably...
Years.
You know, multi-million-dollar project. Other ones that might be improving some crossing, you know, crosswalks or repaint, you know, putting in high visibility crosswalks, those would be much less expensive projects and could be done in a shorter amount of time as well. So,
you know, I was thinking that, you know, since wouldn't it be a good idea maybe to do something like a bike day, a walk day? I mean, I know we got this going to school day, just like they do in L.A. They shut an area down and everybody's... I think they did it in Pacoima, right?
Yeah, the Ciclovia event. Yeah, it's something that we've been talking about a little bit, myself and Joel, just like it's in its infant stages, but about trying to do a Ciclovia event here too, where they shut streets down and, you know, show people like this is a place where you can actually ride your bike and not get out and over
it. So, but I guess the point is, you know, how can we tie that to what he's presenting here? you know, as far as like to get the word out, to, you know, just to, I think if we tie that to this, you know, what better way to launch it or at least bring awareness and then, you know, coming out with, these are the days they're meeting over here. These are the schools are going to be, you know, going into it more. So I think maybe, you know, that's something that, you know, with the city council, that it's something that they should probably think about. And maybe along with what you're, you know, this whole ordeal of making it active, safe and active.
Right.
It's so important, you know, because I walk the streets. That, you know, I'm trying to walk every day.
Yeah.
You know, just for exercise, you know. Yeah. Walking at least 2 to 3 miles a day. So being out there on the streets, you see all, you know, all this out there and the dangers and just trying to get across certain areas. It's, you know, so.
Yeah, not only that, it's like if you get people out of their cars and on slower modes of transportation like walking and biking, it promotes foot traffic for the businesses too. Instead of just zooming down Tremont and you don't even know what's in the San Fernando Mall, you know, like if there's people on bikes, they probably generally go through the mall on their bike. It's a little safer, you know. It's like, wow, look at all this stuff in here. You know, right. Oh, we never even knew it was here. Right.
So just something to consider.
I shop at our mall. They use those little businesses.
Yeah. So just something to consider that maybe we may consider, Chris, on how maybe if we do a bike day and maybe as they've been talking already,
yeah,
then somehow tying it to this, mm-hmm. just to give it more exposure and awareness of, you know, the proposed plan as far as making it a safe, active place.
Right. There are, actually, there's a call out for projects right now for an open streets events. So the SCAG, it's the Southern California Association of Governments, they're putting out a pot of money for open streets events across the county, or across the 6 counties of SCAG. So if that would be something you'd be interested in, can definitely I'll follow up with you about the what that
sure,
looks like.
For sure.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
But yeah, directly related to this plan. Mm-hmm.
Sounds well, good. Let me know because I'm going to have to learn how to ride a bike. Let's start out with the basics.
I had a question. What about the overall education through the DMV? So you got anybody working with the DMV? As far as educating on all the paperwork that everybody sees as they read their licenses and goes in the, just another angle.
That's another piece.
I mean, is there anyone working in Sacramento liaison in the DMV to kind of pro-cycling?
There's a nonprofit group called the Safe Routes. Don't quote me on it. It's like geared around safe routes to school.
Well, to educate people, I mean, when you see this curve painted this way, or delineators in line, what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, just because if you start changing the curves of that design, you know, try to put more bike lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm not too sure, actually, what goes on at the DMV.
I know.
Well, come on, you can do it.
When that project was happening on Reseda, they were very, very slow to implement it. Like, they didn't just dump it on them, you know, which was kind of good. But, that's a good idea, though. Because it is confusing. As you drive down there, there's like a bike lane next to the curb, and then next to that is parking, and it's delineated.
Yeah.
And then it's like the two lanes of traffic. I know the first time I drove through there, when it was finally all ready to go, I was like, where do I park?
You're parking in the middle of the street.
I just parked on a side street instead.
So, you know, Dan, right?
Yeah.
Dan, what you're saying, that we also need education that yellow means prepare to stop if you haven't yet, you know. So, because you got people that they want you to, I mean, there's just a lot of, I think, educational wise, as far as like people just going back to the basic rules of the road, you know. And then, of course, adding in as far as the active community, bike, walking, you know, of course, that'd be a whole different education is important, because I noticed that typically most pedestrians, because there's a four-way stop sign, for them it means go through it. And the reality is that it means you should stop too. pedestrian, it means you stop.
And look both ways, right?
Yeah. But the perception is, it means they gotta stop, so I'm going through it. Yeah. Bike riders do it, joggers do it, everyone does it, and it's a matter of education, I think, and what you're saying. And then especially is if we're talking about doing active cities, bike, walking, all that, even more so that they need to be educated on that. So I think he's saying that, I'm sure there's a educational piece to it, because as it is, you know, people don't understand when they're out in the, out there, you know. Especially nowadays, especially, you know, they're walking, texting, looking for, what is those little...
Pokemon,
you know, looking for Pokemon, all that, you know, so...
It is disappointing, the break in communication with the kids and the parents in teaching the children how to be safe and to make eye contact with the driver before you step out. And they do it all the time. They walk right out into the street and say, well, I got the right way because I'm a pedestrian. They don't even look at you. They're still, you know, down like this. And I hope that I've done right by my grandchildren coming up and stressing with them to be... I said, you know, if you give courtesy of the road, that makes you the boss for that moment. You get to control that intersection. I said, so do that. Give courtesy of the road. And if you see somebody else who's in a big hurry, let them go, you know. But, you know, the helmets. I don't see the kids with the helmets on. You go into another city like Encino or something, and the kids are all filled with safety gear. And I'd like to see more education with it.
I think there is an educational piece, is that right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's infrastructure and non-infrastructure, so education would fall under that in the non-infrastructure, as well as city policy. And each school will detail a profile, will detail a, in this plan, there'll be a school profile for every school. So if they decide they want to implement a program within their school, maybe bring it into the physical education component. I know some PE classes now are doing cycling education and actually doing bike rides. Oh. So of course you got to figure out where to get the bikes. So we're also thinking about that. But there's lots of different ways that this can be done. But education is a big part of this.
Yeah. There's a man up on Aurora and. Foothill been selling a lot of bikes.
Is that right?
Have you seen? He's got about 18, 20 bikes out there for sale.
That's a good start. So there's my contact info. Feel free to follow up by email, or you'll see me around. We'll be back, and we look forward to letting you know what we learn from the community. I mean, big series of workshops. Hope we'll see you there, too. And yeah, stay tuned.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for all the work you've done.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it when the day happens that we could actually get out there and
not get killed.
Yeah, feel safe. Yeah. All right, so stop sign requests. And then,
you know, this one, we had a resident that put a request in, but I don't see him in the audience, so maybe we'll just table it to next
one. Okay. Commission discussions. B, you want to start over that way?
I want to thank Public Works for all of the road work they're doing up in my area. It's going to be great to not have to worry about getting your oil pan ripped off the bottom of your car going down Grand Boulevard. And hopefully that will be done pretty soon. But thank you. You guys have been working hard. That's all I have. I have a million complaints, but that's all I have.
David, for now.
No complaints myself that I can think of off the top of my head. To kind of echo what Dee said, you guys are out there busting your you-know-whats, so you know, we appreciate that as commissioners, especially as residents. So, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to first of all welcome you, and officially, I haven't said anything, but welcome. And I also like to say, I know Gilbert will be missed, and you know, I really appreciated his commitment to this commission, and of course, him showing up today, he just showed his commitment beyond his placement or appointment. So really appreciate that. I would like us to put on the agenda the appointment or the restructuring of the commissions, so that we could appoint the proper chair and possibly vice chair, rearranging whatever. So we could do that. Also, what I'm hoping is that, you know, we've had some shootings in the area, and I know that they're gang related, and only because I know the families that were part of the incident, and then working with communities and schools and the GRID program, the gang intervention, youth development program, familiar with some of the things that are going on that are related to the shooting that took place up over near Silmar High School, maybe about 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, and it ignited just a retaliation between San Fernando and Pacoima and some of the surrounding areas. So as a result of that shooting that took place, or the stabbing that took place, I take that back, the stabbing that took place there. And by the way, there was another shooting over there in Silmar. And the reason I bring it up is because we're so closely connected, and the things that are going on as far as like the gang involvement, you know, it's important for us to be aware and to know of some of these situations that are happening, since we are the Transportation and Safety Commission. You know, I think that the Safety Commission needs not just be aware of safety issues as far as road hazards, but I think also is, you know, some of the situations that are happening around the community. It'd be nice to be able to get a report from police department, if they could just give us a little bit of insight, in particular because there was two shootings that took place right on the other side of, I think it's Wolfskill and Pico, around that area. And I'm sure there's been others that, you know, that you know, have happened, and sometimes we don't hear about it. But just as a commission, I think it's important for us to, you know, just to be aware, or at least be made aware of some of those things that are happening. And, you know, that maybe it's possible that we could, you know, help out by, is it a lighting issue, or just, you know, looking at other things that we could incorporate to address some of those issues on top of, you know, gang intervention, gang prevention, drug abuse, et cetera, et cetera. So that was all that I wanted to say today as far as bringing that to the table. Staff communication.
Yes, just wanted to update the commission. So that memo that we kind of touched on a few things, but just wanted to follow up. Last month, Commissioner Bernal had asked to look into some of the traffic conditions at Jesse, Wolfskill, First Street, Truman, in that area. So, you know, we reached out to our traffic engineer and provided some comments, and those are included in the memo. So it just kind of outlines some of his thoughts in regards to traffic congestion, traffic safety. You know, interestingly, he found the conditions at that intersection to be pretty good. We had 10 collisions, an average of 2 per year. Now, those are reported accidents as opposed to, you know, other not reported ones, so it might be a little bit higher in actuality, but overall, you know, from his perspective, it looks pretty good. Talks about the traffic signal operations. The one thing I wanted to touch on is some of the efforts that we're moving forward on in regards to improving areas adjacent to the rail corridor. So we have a Call for Projects grant award that we got last year. The only thing is the money doesn't come for another couple of years because it's tied up with the feds, and they pass the money down to Metro, passes the money on to us. So that would look at integrating our traffic signals with the City of LA, so we get more flow and, you know, know, it's not like you come into San Fernando from LA and then things stop down and then, you know, you get out of San Fernando and things start moving again. So we got that in the works. Last month we put in a grant application under the HSIT program, which is Highway Safety Improvement, and that's looking at upgrading our traffic signal infrastructure adjacent to some of those intersections that are impacted by the rail. So, you know, everything goes to flashing red. The idea would be to continue traffic flowing that's parallel to the rail corridor. So, you know, you wouldn't just have this bottleneck condition and traffic would continue to move as the trains go through. And then the last thing, Manuel and I, along with some other members of our team, went last week. Metro is coordinating a project. It's called double tracking along the rail corridor. And they're looking at adding a new train line, a second track for additional trains to get people back and forth. They really want to emphasize train travel and less car traffic. So as a result, we're going to have an opportunity to try to put in for some improvements to our infrastructure, traffic signals, utilities, water, sewer. So we just wanted to let you know that we're working on this, and what I think we'll do is try to request a presentation from their team so that they can give you a better understanding of what exactly it entails. But we just wanted to keep you aware and let you know that that's something that we're working on.
Okay, I think we're going to adjourn this, but I is that the traffic where you're talking about, Jesse Street, where the walkway is? And
yes. Yeah. It's a little, I felt anyway, that it was a little dark there. And if people come off of that bike trail and just cross, like we were talking about, they think they're just entitled to cross the street. You know?
Yeah, that's a bad area.
We could look at lighting too, so that's,
okay.
Yeah.
So
hopefully we'll get police officers that are doing traffic. You know, we've lost our traffic officers, and everybody's complaining about it, the speeding and parking in your driveways, people parking, blocking your driveways. And it's throughout the city. It's not just one particular thing. And hopefully we'll get our police officers back to speed.
All right. So I'd like to officially adjourn this meeting, and I want to thank everyone for being here tonight, for showing up and being here, and thank you so much for your presentation. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Yeah. This meeting is adjourned. Can I hit this thing?
No, I think I have to second it. Oh. We have to sit here.
We got to get a second on the adjournment.
Okay.